Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out!
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. It is draft day, Spadoni draft day. That's right. Big day. Big day for your Raiders. Michael Penix Jr., step on up. You look nice in silver and black, but who's going to look good in red and gold?
Just win, baby.
Who's going to look good in red and gold tonight? Shout out to YouTube and Twitch, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal first-class money market today. You can now download the Odyssey app directly from our YouTube and Twitch pages as we have added the QR code on both pages, the Xfinity Mobile text line. Shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. It is draft day here. We'll talk to Mike Florio in moments as the 49ers are on the clock at 31. They have 10 picks, but the topic of conversation around these parts of what are the Niners going to do with Brandon Ayuk? We have Mike Florio here, Pro Football Talk. Mike, good morning. Welcome back to the roast here, 95.7 The Game. Monte Hill, Joe Shasky, the Butcher. Just right off the rip, what are your thoughts on Brandon Ayuk, the player? Because obviously a lot of conversation about what the Niners may do with him. Will they pay him? Will they not pay him? Will they trade him tonight? Just overall, what are your impressions of Brandon Ayuk, the player, as a wide receiver here in the NFL?
We were talking about him the other day on PFT Live, our morning show that's on 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific time, if you're up really early on Peacock and Sirius XM85, but it's replayed throughout the day as well. We played some highlights of Brandon Ayuk, and a point Chris Sims made, he's wide open a lot. And at some point, you got to ask yourself, how much of that is the offense? How much of that is having guys like Deebo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Brock Purdy, Trent Williams? And at the end of the day, and this gets to the core of the question, the 49ers have had this guy for 4 years. He barely had 1,000 receiving yards his third season. He had 1,300-plus last year, was a second-team All-Pro. They know him better than anyone, and they have a value on him that he clearly isn't happy with. The question becomes, is there someone else out there that values him at a high enough level that they're willing to pay him what he wants and give the 49ers what it would take to make a trade happen? That's the real question. That's the great unknown. So, bottom line, 49ers have made their assessment based on 4 seasons with the guy, and they haven't budged from that assessment yet.
Mike, is there some sort of big deal that we were maybe overlooking? Most people here, all we've been talking about is, you know, draft picks. Is there something bigger in the works that maybe we don't know about where they would get another proven player from somewhere else? I'm just trying to think outside the box here.
It's not impossible. Look, anything is in play. Anyone's in play. It all comes down to what a team is willing to offer and what the 49ers are willing to accept. teams always want draft picks, though, because that allows you to start the clock over again with a low-cost contract relative to what veteran contracts cost. And that's what makes it challenging, I think, to find a potential trade partner. Look, it's been a couple of weeks now since I caught wind of this discreet effort to give Brandon Ayuk's agent permission to try to find a trade, and the 49ers have said all the right things. John Lynch cut off Matt Maiocco the other day when he was trying to ask that question. So I guess if you cut off the question, you've never even answered the question one way or the other. But that's been percolating. I know the Steelers made a phone call a couple of months ago, and the 49ers weren't interested at the time. Basically, that was the end of the conversation. But there's teams out there. It all comes down to what the 49ers would take, what gets put in the package, and is it enough to get them to say, okay, you take Brandon Ayuk, we take what you're offering us. And whatever happens, if it does happen, there's no reason for it to happen at any time before the best pick they're requiring is on the clock. You want that pick while you run the board. You don't want anyone to have the chance to say, the 49ers picked up the 20th overall pick in the draft, and there's three picks to go. Maybe we should try to jump them to get the guy we think the 49ers are going to take.
What do you think his value is in terms of a draft pick for this year's draft?
Well, 2 years ago, we saw A.J. Brown get traded by the Titans to the Eagles for a mid-round, first-round pick. Now, is it Brandon Ayuk, A.J. Brown? The reporting I saw the other day from Mike Silver in the Chronicle was that the 49ers want a first-round pick, but other teams are looking at a second-round pick. Now, first-round pick is a pretty broad proposition. 1 to 32, there's a lot that goes on in that range. Could there be an opportunity for the Bills to offer pick 28 for Brandon Ayuk? And what would the 49ers say about that? And what would they feel about the guy they get? You know, there's a thought that maybe we get down to the bottom of the line. There aren't a lot of high-end first-round talent available in those last few picks in the draft, and there's going to be teams looking to trade out of there. And maybe that's what the 49ers could do. They could get that pick and then immediately trade right out of it if they work out another deal. So, you know, it's got to be a team that's looking for a receiver now that has the wherewithal financially and draft pick-wise to get the deal done and has to want to do it. That would be the buyer beware that I would say, even though I always want players to land where they want to land, go where they want to go, and be happy with what they're doing, especially when they've become second-team All-Pro. That's a big deal. Second-team All-Pro is harder to do than second-team Pro Bowl because it's all one league and there's only so many spots available. What he did last year was significant. But where is that team that views Brandon Ayuk at a significantly higher level than the team that's had him on the roster for 4 years does?
Mike Florio here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 The Game. Mike, when you look at this offense here, can Brock Purdy, and I think he's a really good quarterback, he had a spectacular season last year, obviously losing in the Super Bowl in Las Vegas to Kansas City and company, and they didn't make enough plays offensively. Can he thrive without Brandon Ayuk, with Deebo, who failed to gain separation in that Super Bowl and has a history of injuries, and a rookie wide receiver, if they went that route by replacing Brandon Ayuk? Can they still thrive as an offense and average nearly 30 points a game without a Brandon Ayuk in the system?
Well, I think they believe they can. Otherwise, they wouldn't be flirting with this potential endgame that results in no Brandon Ayuk on the team. Conceptually, look, the draft is a lottery, and your pick is a lottery ticket. And the 49ers moved up in 2020 to get Brandon Ayuk. When you get a winning ticket, the jackpot goes to the player, and the obligation is you got to pay it. Why would you swap out a guy that has shown he can get it done for an unproven player? Unless you are damn confident that you know how to scout receivers, and hey, Kyle Shanahan, former receiver at the University of Texas, maybe he feels good about this reality we now see in the NFL, where it's almost becoming kind of like the running back position, where there's a lot of great receivers. Why are there a lot of great receivers? Because 7-on-7 camps everywhere. College football, throwing more than ever. Those balls are being thrown. Those balls are being caught. Players are developing. And maybe Kyle Shanahan, working with John Lynch, just has courage of his convictions that I'll find another guy. You know, they're surely eyeing this guy, that guy, the other guy, who would be the guy that they take in the event that they don't have Brandon Ayuk on the roster. So it's a tough spot because, you know, we're going to see some receivers make a lot of money, and we're going to see some receivers who just want too much, and they're either going to have to take what they can get Or, you know, I don't know what Brandon Ayuk's options are. I mean, look, you either sign a long-term deal with the 49ers or you get traded, or you got $14.12 million as your number for this year. You've got limited options in holding out. The daily fines are there. The fine for missing a preseason game is the amount of a full game check under your fifth-year option, and who knows if the 49ers would enforce those. They'd have the discretion not to. But, you know, I just – if the 49ers are going to keep the guy, let's just get it done. They dragged it out with Deebo Samuel, and he wasn't ready for the next season. They dragged it out with Nick Bosa, and he maybe wasn't the same guy if he'd been locked in all year. It would be nice to see it get done if that's what the 49ers want to do. And if they don't want to do it, then move on. I've been saying that about the Vikings for a while now. They're dragging their feet with Justin Jefferson. Either pay him or trade him to a team who will. It benefits no one by waiting, and especially from the team's perspective. It never gets cheaper if you wait to do a guy's contract.
So, Mike, is this the first domino of other dominoes to fall where they're trying to set themselves up financially to pay the quarterback $50, $60 million a year?
Well, my own thought when this all first came up was they'd love to hold this all together for one more year, where Ayuk happily takes $14.12 million. They make it work with Kittle's contract, whatever restructuring they did this year. They make it work with Deebo Samuel. They've got one last year of Brock Purdy on this last pick in the draft, slotted rookie, minimum salary deal. And let's just do it now. And then next year we'll make the hard decisions. Pay Brandon Ayuk, move on from Deebo Samuel, move on from George Kittle. I'm not saying that's what they'll do, but I think their hope was, let's just hold it together for one more year. Let's try to finally win that Super Bowl, and then we'll make the tough decisions about the composition of our offensive skill position players next year. I mean, through it all, I'm surprised we haven't heard Christian McCaffrey wants a new contract.
Yeah.
I thought going into the 2023 season that maybe at some point during the season we'd start to hear some noise about McCaffrey wanting an adjustment. He had an MVP caliber season. How many more years does he have before the window closes on him? And maybe it's all happening quietly behind the scenes, and maybe it's one of those things that's going to surprise us out of nowhere. But that's the other key piece of this offense that makes the thing go, and he's underpaid when you consider what he's accomplished and what he means to that team. I just think they'd like to keep it all steady for one more year if they can, and Brandon Ayuk is publicly keeping that from happening. There's a chance privately they're dealing with a McCaffrey complication.
Well, that's interesting. Shasky's been kind of all over that all week long. Isaac McCaffrey may be asking for a decision. I thought about it as well, $14 million per year. He's just maybe not that type of guy. I want to get back to that in just a second, but you brought up Justin Jefferson. Anyway, he's traded today on draft day. We know about the complications in Minnesota. They're rebuilding at the quarterback spot. Is Justin Jefferson happy? Could we see a draft day trade involving Justin Jefferson?
Well, you know, I said last year as the regular season was approaching that if the Vikings don't extend Justin Jefferson before the start of the 2023 regular season, he's potentially in play to be traded as the Vikings try to get what would be their first franchise quarterback since Fran Tarkenton. And it really has been that long. Kirk Cousins had six straight years of eight or more starts with the Vikings. He's the first one to do that since Tarkenton, who went seven straight years with eight or more starts. They want that long-term guy. They want to get him in the door young. They want to groom him. They want to develop him. They've had great receivers there over the years. They've had Anthony Carter. They've had Chris Carter. They've had Andy Moss. They've had Stephon Diggs. They had Percy Harvin, who was an MVP candidate for the first four games of the 2012 season before he kind of fell off a little bit, and they eventually traded him. Now they've got Justin Jefferson. You know, they've never gotten to a Super Bowl with all those great receivers, but they got the three with Fran Tarkenton. So I think, because it would be an easy contract to do. They've already written the check verbally. The GM of the team, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, said at the scouting combine, he deserves to be the highest paid receiver in the league. He deserves to be paid like one of the top non-quarterbacks in the league. Well, that's Nick Bosa. You could sit down and do this deal in an afternoon if you really wanted to. So if you don't want to, then put him in a package and move to number two and get Jaden Daniels. Put him in a package and move to number three and get Drake May if that's where you stand. Just like with the 49ers. You either pay him or you trade him to someone who will. And I think that's more clear with Justin Jefferson because I don't think anyone doubts his value. The question is, who's the team that wants to write that check and make that commitment to a guy who, you know, is at times unstoppable. Just throw the ball his way and he's going to catch it.
Yeah, we've been talking about Justin Jefferson being a snap loose superstar forever. It's just, I feel like there's this good, the bad, the ugly thing going on, whether it's Justin Jefferson with Minnesota, the Niners, and Ayuk, and everyone's waiting for somebody to make the first move here. If you had to guess, is Brandon Ayuk a 49er tomorrow morning?
Yes, that's my guess. And the possibility would be that he's traded in that 18-hour window. Well, no, because, again, I don't want to contradict myself. The trade would be announced when the first pick they're getting is on the clock. So it would quietly be done in the 18 hours with an understanding that they pull the trigger at pick, you know, whatever, 33, 34, 35, anywhere between there and 62 during round two, plus whatever else happens. But my guess would be it's too much to make it happen today. And it happens tomorrow, unless it's already done. Yeah. And we're just going to find out, like we found out. Lightning strike 2 years ago, and Mike Vrabel acquired a pretty aggressive neck twitch as they were sending A.J. Brown and drafting Treylon Burks, who's been right. a disappointment. I mean, that's the risk. You know, the Vikings got right. lucky. When they traded Stephon Diggs, they turned around and got Justin Jefferson.
Right. Upgraded.
It's yep. hard to bank on that.
Yep. I'm with you on that one, Mike. Real quick on McCaffrey. If he did ask for an extension, what would that value be? What could he ask for? What could he get if he went to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan and said, hey, look, I had over 2,000 all-purpose yards. I scored all these touchdowns. You don't average 29, 30 points a game without me. I want to get my bag. What would that bag look like if McCaffrey did that?
I don't know. I mean, would $20 million a year be the magic number? It's amazing to think of a guy who's so important to a team, but he plays a position where it's so hard to get paid. How do you strike that balance to reflect what he means to the team versus the fact that, hey, you know, we can throw a shoe and hit a running back who can come in and get it done in this offense? That's what made the move to get him so strange. They had a different leading rusher every year of Kyle Shanahan's time as head coach, and then they get Christian McCaffrey and everything changes in the blink of an eye, and they kind of go against the entire Shanahan approach to running backs, which is, this year it's Terrell Davis. Okay, fine. Oh, wait, he's injured. Here's Orlandis Gary. Hey, he had 1,000 yards. Oh, wait, the next year, Mike Anderson. All right, he'll have 1,200 yards. And it just goes on and on and on. They've turned it on its head. And I think the way McCaffrey does his business, when you look back to Carolina, he got a contract 3 years in, and we didn't even know he was looking for one. So that may be the way. And we know a lot of this stuff happens. Sometimes I'm not trying to throw a dart and predict anything, but how many times do we get surprised when a deal gets done? And we got surprised when his deal got done in Carolina. Yeah. And I think it's incumbent on the 49ers to try to make sure that they strike the balance between making a commitment that pays him for what he's doing now and what they expect him to do this year, but also doesn't tie their hands with a deal that is going to create a cap problem for them once his prime starts to dissipate. And I mean, let's face it, he's been around since 2017. He's got a lot of wear and tear. How many more good years does he really have left?
Mike, it's going to be a wild day, and it's probably one of our favorite days of the year. It feels like Christmas around here for sports fans. What's the boldest prediction? And we're going off the chart. I'm not going to hold you to this. No one's going to hold you to this. But what's the boldest thing that you could see happening today? Like, because we were talking about this, Detroit trading up to go get Michael Penix or something like that.
Be the heir apparent to Jared Goff.
Yeah, you know, like, I'm very interested. What do you think is something that's probably not going to happen, but something bold you'd like to see happen?
Well, I mean, two things. Look, wherever Michael Penix goes, I think that's going to be the oh crap moment of the night, because I think somebody's going to take him and we're going to say, oh, wow. You know, the window opens at number 8 with Atlanta, who has done their homework on Penix. It's like, well, they got Kirk Cousins. Yeah, but Kirk Cousins isn't playing for 5 years. Kirk Cousins may have 2 years in Atlanta by the time it's all said and done. 3 at the most. And yeah, you don't sit a quarterback for 3 years, but the Packers did with Jordan Love, and look how it worked out. So the window opens there. The Raiders at 13, Seahawks at 16, Steelers at 20. I just think whenever he gets picked, we're going to be like, wow. The Raiders would be the least likely for us to say wow, but Penix is one that I think is a wild card with these quarterbacks in round one. The other thing that I think is going to happen, and I don't know this, I'm just reading the tea leaves and making a guess. I think the Vikings are going to stay at 11, and they might not take a quarterback there. Because I look at it as, you know, the guy that Kevin O'Connell wants, and let's assume it's Drake May, it's going to cost too much to go get him, and the front office is going to say, we're not making that investment to go get him. Okay, fine. Then they're at 11, and the guys that are available, the front office says, how about this guy? And O'Connell, who said himself last week, he's been the quarterback killer in Minnesota. He said, no, I don't want this guy. No, I don't want that guy. No, I don't want that guy. So whoever's left at 11, they may say, we'll just take best available player, and we'll address one of our other needs, whether it's pass rusher or, you know, get a tackle for the future, even though they're doing pretty well on the outside with Brian O'Neill and Christian Darrisaw. You can't have enough good offensive linemen. There's different ways they can go to make the team better. It won't surprise me if they can't get a deal to go up, and by the time they're sitting there at 11, they just say, we're not going to take a quarterback at all, and we're just going to try to make the team better.
Wow. Two quick ones for you, Mike, because this is I'm loving every bit of this.
Fonte's a huge Sam Darnold fan. It's a joke.
It's I'm not the biggest Sam Darnold fan. But over-under on trades is 6.5 in the first round. Over-under on trades, first-round trades, is 6.5. One, do you think it'll go over? And two, will a running back be drafted in the first round?
Ooh, good question.
Look, I'm going to say over just because I want chaos and I love chaos, and more trades means more chaos and more surprises, and that makes for a more interesting night. I don't think a running back is going to get drafted tonight. And I don't think that, you know, unless you think the guy's going to be a potential Hall of Famer or perennial Pro Bowler, you can get a running back later. And it's not a great running back class this year, and we've seen a lot of running backs get signed in free agency because of that. Between the fact that running backs have already been spoken for via free agency and just the valuation of the position relative to other positions, I don't think we're going to see a running back tonight. And who knows when the first one's going to go. I think Blake Corum's got a chance to be special, and he's a betting favorite to get reunited with Jim Harbaugh down in L.A. with the Chargers, and that would be a neat little story if that happens. Huh.
I love Blake Corum. He's a baller.
Yeah, he's tough. He's a tough guy, man. Mike, this is going to be a lot of fun. What will happen with Brandon Ayuk? A lot of Niner fans don't want to see him move on, but what if he does? What would that mean for Brock Purdy? What would that mean for this offense moving forward? Mike, you're always good to us, man. Thanks for the time, as always.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
anytime,
buddy.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. A lot there. I like draft talk, man. He starts going down the rabbit hole. What could happen at 11 with Minnesota? We're going to be locked in. What is the draft
new drop? What's the new drop?
I don't know.
No, the new drop was great. Every time I make a good point, I want to use this. Yeah, we got to tease it. He's going to work on it.
I said what I said.
So let's.
We've come a long way with Mike.
I love Mike.
We've come a long way with him.
I love how we're best friends with Mike Florio.
We are now.
The whole industry hates us, but Mike Florio loves us. I kind of like that.
And the whole industry hates Mike Florio.
That's okay.
And we love him.
You know what? We're all behind enemy lines. So without us even bringing it up, he kind of brought up what I brought up. And again, I'm not pretending I'm some sage, but I'm looking at like Saquon Barkley. And if I'm CMC, I'm just going off me, right? Like if I'm CMC, like you're giving Barkley that, I'm way better than Barkley. No,
well,
talented Barkley is. There's no doubt. I sound like Yoda.
Right.
But he hasn't put together seasons that I've put together on winning teams, doing it in the playoffs. And if I'm here and I'm CMC, I'm saying, all right, look, Trent's making 30, 35. Yeah. He's the best left tackle in the game. I get it. Without him, I can't function. And I do need receivers, but I'm going to have two receivers making twice what I'm making?
Well,
man, you got to up my money a little.
It's funny because we quipped about this a few weeks ago when we were like, the bread. I forgot what day it was, but we're kind of cool. We're kind of going back and forth with us, like, man, we're lucky McCaffrey's not asking for it this stitcher, right? But it was just kind of just a throwaway.
Yes.
Just a throwaway because in my mind, he's just not that type of dude.
No.
He's going to play under his contract. He's a coach's son or whatnot. But if it was anybody else making 14, you're coming off of that season.
What do you think Ricky Waters is thinking?
I was looking for an extension, and they may say, you know what, the hell with it. So Mike said, maybe there is a secret because the Carolina deal came out of nowhere, but we'll see about that.
But that's the thing that we're going back and forth. Like, nobody wants to trade Ayuk, but I'm trying to think, like, what are the Niners doing behind the scenes?
Right.
Could they be negotiating with Lenore on a smaller, you know, extension and CMC a little extension? And, you know, is there this guy they're working on an extension? Like, Aaron Banks is a guy from the Trey Lance draft.
Or
maybe
Lenore. Be Hufanga. It could be whoever.
It could be a variety of guys. Maybe they're changing some of the money of Charvarius Ward so that he stays an extra year or two. Like, like that's part of this Brandon Ayuk thing that we just don't know.
We don't know. And you know what? Again, the reason why I asked the question at the start of the show, do you trust Lynch and Shanahan to make the right decision? It's because I do trust them. And if they do trade Brandon Ayuk away, Shasky, I do trust them to make the right moves moving forward. I trust them that if they do trade Brandon Ayuk, I don't want it to happen, but I trust them to make the right move to have a plan moving forward without Brandon Ayuk. That's where I'm at with Shanahan and Lynch. We'll move on to Dave Fleming coming up here to talk about Blake Snell. Then we'll get right back into the NFL draft as it is draft day. Draft day, we have you all covered. Tune in tonight. Mark Grady, Evan Giddey, Sterling Bennett right here at 95.7 The Game starting at 6 p.m. The guys will take you right up to the 49ers pick and react right after it. Draft night tonight at 6 p.m. right here at 95.7 The Game. That's what's coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, Full Service Banking, No Compromises. Dave Fleming!
With the third pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Trey Lance, quarterback, North Dakota State.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Vontae and Shasky.
Spinoni's in a good mood, man. He's feeling Michael Penix Jr. in the silver and black. Oh, man, Spinoni. He don't even care about the Lakers going down 0-3 today to the Nuggets, right? You don't even care.
No, if they get Penix, I will be ecstatic tomorrow morning.
They're going to have to jump up.
I don't think they have to jump up. Yes. No, at 13, he will be.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I think an 8-9 is where they're going to have. I think the Bears, I could realistically see the Bears trading out of 9.
By the way, we got Dave Fleming on. I know he's on hold, but make sure you subscribe to the Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys podcast.
That's BS, man.
No, it's not BS. No, it's not. Sam Lubman.
The real deal, Holyfield.
Joe Shasky bring you the best damn Giants talk in the Bay Area, period, every week, all
like
season long.
Like a key win start.
And you can subscribe today on iTunes and Spotify. And guess what? Sam Lubman caught up with Jordan Hicks. How did Sam Lubman sneak into the clubhouse and get Jordan Hicks? That's coming out tomorrow. Can't wait. Can't wait for it. Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys. And I can't wait to talk to Dave Fleming, who's on the line right now. Dave, good morning once again. Thanks for always joining us here. Giants get the series win. Last night was a dud. Obviously, the day started off on a rocky note because Blake Snell has been placed on the IL with the left adductor strain. So, Flynn, good morning to you. Hope you're doing well. What's the severity so far of the injury? We heard from Blake Snell yesterday. It sounds like it's not as serious. It could just be a three-week injury for him.
I just want you guys to talk about me the way you talk about Mike Florio when you sign off with him. Man.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Don't worry,
good.
Flynn. We got you covered, man.
Hey,
we got
Dave, you covered. There was a point in time where Mike Florio was ready to stab us both with a pen in the eye.
No.
And so we've come a long way with him.
We've
come a very long way.
Hopefully we never get you to that point.
Good. He's got a lot of info, but you can't – come on, man. You can't say, all right, give me something wild off the board. You can't say – Minnesota stays put. Like, what are you talking about?
Well, Flip, I guess it would be wild to stay put with Sam Darnold, right?
What?
Maybe that's the wildness in it. Maybe it's wild that he's staying with Sam Darnold in Minnesota.
Flem's a roaster.
I was looking for something fun.
Yeah. Me too.
I know. I wanted him to say the Niners are trading up the top five to go get Michael Penix Jr.
Right.
Yeah, give me some. Give me some juice. Well, you give us some juice on Blake Snell, Flem. No, it's your turn.
Flem, here's what I want to forget. Like, you, no one knows how good Flem, how good Snell's going to be and how long he's going to be. But here's what I want to know. Like, Boris had a horrible offseason, just in general. And I think, like, I don't blame the Giants. I just think Snell should be frustrated. Boris clearly botched this. The Giants probably wanted to get a deal done sooner rather than like, no one won in this situation. And the guy, the poor guy's now hurt right now. It just, it sucks if you're a fan of baseball.
It does. It does. And it's, this, the game is trying to, they're trying to figure out how do we keep this from happening. And it's hard. It's hard to tell players like, okay, we're going to put a limit on when you can sign, or because then, you know, I think the players feel like, well, that works against us. That taps down our market. But like, it's not good for anybody to have those free agents last out there as long as they did. It's terrible. It's bad for the game. It's bad for them. You're right. And Scott Boras will never admit this, but it's really bad for his clients. Really bad.
No doubt.
And it's happened now several years in a row. It doesn't help them be the best they can be. You know, part of your job as an agent is to get your guy the most money. The other part of your job is to help him be the best he can be and be as happy as he can be. And it's just a total failure on that front. And the strategy stinks for everybody all involved. Now, you know, there've been some like proposals about, okay, there's a deadline of January 15th, and after that you can only sign a 1-year contract or something. But the players just view all of that stuff as limiting for them, as hurting them. But something like that needs to happen. The problem, it all goes back to all the other leagues have a cap and they have a floor, and teams know they have to spend a certain amount of money, and it's just baked in. And so you can put these sort of limits, and you can have a free agency week or a free agency couple weeks, and it works in baseball because you don't have those restraints. That doesn't work. It's a really hard problem to solve, but it stinks for everybody.
Yeah, that's a good point. As we're talking to Dave Fleming, one of the many voices, great voices of the San Francisco Giants, but he does a little bit of everything, college football, college basketball, of course, and he was at the Masters a couple weeks ago in Augusta, Georgia. So Blake Snell will be out, and he got off to a rocky road, but one guy who hasn't gotten off to a rocky start has been Logan Webb, who I believe right now may be the best pitcher in the National League. I threw at Chasky because he's our baseball historian. But no, I do love the game too, Flem. Greg Maddux vibes I get from Logan Webb because of how quickly he works. He gets the grounders. He paints. He has a lot of movement. Now, Greg Maddux is special. He's a Hall of Fame pitcher. I get all that. But what Logan Webb is doing right now, 7-7-7-8, that's the innings he's pitched the last four outings. He really had the one stinker in Dodger Stadium. Logan Webb could do no wrong, man. It feels like an automatic, hey, we're going to be in a game once Logan Webb is on that mound.
Maddux is not a bad, it's not a bad comp. It isn't. I mean, they are different. Maddux is the all-time greatest at that style of pitching. So it's not, you know, whenever you compare somebody to somebody that good, but that is who he's like. He is. And he's built to just go out there time and time again and give you, it's not just consistency because that just undersells it. You know, I think part of what makes me upset about when people evaluate Logan Webb is they focus so much on the innings, which are hugely valuable. They are. It's a big part of who he is. He takes pride in it more than anybody in the game right now. He takes pride in going deep in the game. He wants to eat up as many innings as possible. That's like one of his number one goals. But it does undersell him. Like, it's not just that he's out there soaking up innings. He's dominating during those innings. He is one of the hardest guys to hit in the game. I love watching him pitch. I mean, I think, you know, for too long we have celebrated the strikeout, and there's a good reason why. Strikeouts can be exciting and fun, and a guy who's, you know, like you think of when you think of Lincecum or Dwight Gooden or Pedro Martinez, you sort of think of the strikeout, and like those are the guys that are considered the most exciting pitchers.
Right.
But I tell you what, when I watch Logan, I don't know if you guys feel the same, I find it really fun to watch him get the weak contact and go through an inning in seven. Like, to me, it's fun to be there and watch, like, three of the best hitters on the other side, ground ball, pop up, and the inning's over just like that, and he saunters back into the dugout. I know it's not quite the same, but I love watching him pitch.
This, I'm going to go old school. He's a way better John Burkett. I mean, he's just, the guy is a stud, and that sinker, splitter, whatever the hell that thing is, I absolutely love it, and he's in a beast this year. There's a lot of good stories going on right now. I know the overall record isn't, you know, as robust as other people want. Like, Bailey's hitting right now. Chapman's coming around. Conforto's been, I feel like, awesome this year, but I want to get to Lamont Wade Jr., because I feel like I've slept on him. I felt like, you know, he's going to come back down to earth. He's having a monster start to the year. 21 hits. He's got the 11 walks, situational base running. He seems to always come through with the big hits. I'm loving what I'm seeing from Lamont Wade right now.
Yeah, you should. And he hadn't even hit a home run yet. No. I mean, or, you know, he basically hasn't gotten the power stroke going. And so that's, you know, I think that will come. We've seen that from Lamont. Like, he definitely has the power to hit 15, 20 home runs. So I think, you know, there could be, I'll have to ask him, because I haven't asked him this yet, like, is he trading a little power swing for just more contact, more on base? I don't know what the answer to that is. But it's, if that's what he's doing, it's working. I mean, he's really leading the league in on base average. Basically, I don't know if he's yet qualified. Even for a couple days ago, he still didn't have quite enough plate appearances to qualify. But he's been a really good player. I mean, I would say of the early season position players, Jung Ho Lee's kind of in a different category, because the production, the eye test is like big time. Like, okay, this guy's going to be really good. But the numbers are modest so far. I would say Bailey and Wade have been the two best Giants position players so far.
Well, a guy we don't talk enough about, we asked George Contos yesterday about it, but Keaton Wynn. I mean, this guy's been dealing. As a number five starter, he's kept the Giants in every single game this season, and he got rewarded Monday night with a great performance against the New York Mets. This guy, we don't talk about him enough. Who is this guy? What is he like around the team? You're around him. I want to get to know this guy a little bit more, because he could be a factor in this rotation. You know, Robbie Ray, we don't know about. We don't know about Alex Cobb. Obviously, Blake Snell's out. What, this young man pitching in the five spot for the Giants in this rotation?
Yeah, I think it's a good question, and it's likely that they're going to need a lot more from him than maybe people assumed. Like, I think, you know, the beginning of the year is like, oh well, you could just throw Keaton Wynn in the bullpen. I don't know if we're going to be able to do that the way that everybody kind of assumed. I think Keaton Wynn's going to be an important part of the starting pitching group. We told the story last year when he first came up. He's from Ollie, Iowa, count of 180. I can't remember, one stoplight or zero stoplight. Huh. You know, legitimately, like, tiny town Iowa. Had never been in a big league ballpark ever until he made his major league debut. That was the first time he had set foot in a major league stadium. So, you know, he's got the whole sort of small town Iowa thing going.
Yeah, that's right.
He was first team all state in like five different sports. You know, he was a great high school wide receiver. He was a great pitcher. He was a really good basketball player. The dude is a massive kid. Like, when you stand next to him, he's 6'5", like 240, and looks every bit of it. Like, he's one of the biggest guys. He's bigger than Jorge Soler. I mean, he's a big dude. So you can see how he was such a good high school athlete. This guy's just a physical specimen. Really quiet kid, like really quiet, but wants to learn, wants to be around Webb, wants to learn from the veteran guys, wants to be really good. The biggest question with him has been, in his career, staying healthy.
Yeah.
For a guy who looks the part, like, he's jacked, he is a physical presence, he's had a hard time staying healthy. If he can stay healthy, he's got massive ability. The guy's really good.
You know, I look at this defense as a whole, just for the whole pitching staff. It's been excellent. Last year, I mean, there's no other way around. I mean, errors per game, total errors, just the way they played defense, they were horrific. And I'm seeing this guy, obviously Chapman has helped. Tyro's made some plays at second base. Nick Ahmed, Offensively, two-strike hitting, coming through with way more RBIs than I anticipated early on. I don't know if that's sustainable. But defensively, he's been really, really good. No knock on Crawford. It wasn't his best year defensively last year. But I think Nick Ahmed is a guy that you're not going to get a lot of questions about. Mm-hmm. If you're watching every night, he's been awesome. Like, an awesome addition.
Yeah, I'm surprised, too. Not that we haven't seen it before from him, but just the way that the Diamondbacks treated him the last couple of years just made me think, oh, well, they must know, right? He's been with them for 10 years. They must know he's toast. Because they basically, you know, and he's not happy about it. Like, they didn't include him in the World Series. You know, even he was hurt, but instead of – this is a guy who's played more games at shortstop than any player in their franchise's history. And instead of – kind of embracing him and, hey, we want to make sure you're feeling like you're a part of this. Like, they didn't do that. And So, you know, I basically thought, gosh, that must mean something really went wrong. He looks to me like the guy the Giants played against for all those years. Right. Like, he looks spry. He looks athletic. His defense, I mean, like, again, Brandon Crawford's the greatest shortstop in the history of the Giants, period. I love Brandon Crawford. But Nick Ahmed is playing a better shortstop right now than Brandon did last year. They've upgraded at that position. Yeah. And he has given him good at bat.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, big two-out single the other night against the New York Mets as they won that series here. All right, shift the gears for him because you touch on everything. You're a big part of college football. These Pac-12 quarterbacks coming out today. Caleb Williams, we all assume.
Michael Penix.
That he's going number one in Chicago. It's a great situation for Caleb Williams. But Poe Nix and Michael Penix Jr., how will they do, Flem? How will they do? Because nobody's, you know, Penix is obviously, we saw him in the national championship game, struggled a bit there, but he had the big game against Texas.
I went to the last Pac-12 championship game at Allegiant Stadium.
I wonder how you got there,
Because of Vontae. Yeah. Not impressed with Poe Nix at all. Very impressed with Penix.
Are you impressed with Poe Nix? I know you're impressed with Penix, but what about Poe Nix?
Well, Poe Nix is a great kid. It's important at quarterback in the NFL, like to be a charismatic guy, a hard worker, a processor, a bright kid, like all those things really matter at quarterback in the NFL. And he's got that stuff. I never looked at Bo Nix playing college football thinking, oh gosh, that guy's making NFL throws. Like I just never saw him that way. He did put up massive numbers at Oregon, so I don't want to say he can't do it. Michael Penix is, since Andrew Luck, he's the most natural thrower that I've watched. Wow. Like, I think Michael Penix's arm talent, I hate that term sort of, but like it's hard to find a better alternative. I am wowed by the way that guy throws the ball. But I understand teams who look at him and say he's just not going to stay healthy. You know, he is not a big dude. He's got these long arms and massive hands that helps him spin the ball the way he does. But his lower body is not really built. He looks fragile, and he's had a lot of injury problems. And it's a different animal playing in the NFL. So I look at if teams evaluate him and say, well, we like his talent, I would take a chance on him just because, like, if we can find a way to protect him and bulk him up a little bit and get our medical group with him, he can make every throw you would ever need to make. He can throw deep. He can throw short. He can throw to the sideline. He's got touch. That guy is a pure, pure natural thrower. Big time.
You got our boy Joe Spinone over here smiling.
He's a Raider fan.
He's a Raider fan. He wants Penix bad at 13.
As a thrower of the football.
But what about Jaden Daniels? He was at Arizona State. I know you call some Sun Devil games. What about him going in that top five?
He was a mess at Arizona State, and I really have a hard time evaluating him because he was not a good player at ASU. And so that memory is lingering in my brain. I watched him at LSU, and I acknowledge how great he was there. Now, he had some awesome receivers around him at LSU. That's not all that he did, but, you know, you go in the SEC and do what he did, you got a lot of ability. But I'm having a hard time getting it out of my head what I saw at Arizona State. The body language was terrible. He didn't understand where he was supposed to go with the ball. He held onto the ball way too long. Can you get better? Yeah, he obviously got a lot better, but I would have a hard time watching those games and thinking I'm taking that guy in the top five.
Dave, I love talking with you about other Bay Area sports teams because I know you have an opinion on this. I know you have. What are you doing with Brandon Ayuk?
Oh, boy,
you know you can't pay everyone.
I thought you were going to ask about Mike Krzyzewski.
No. Mike Krzyzewski's playing better. But here's what
I'm to get that out of you.
And Michael Conforto made a great catch the other day. I'm so happy Conforto did that against the Mets because I can tell it meant more to him. But no, what are you doing with Brandon Ayuk? You trading him?
I'm not trading him if it's me. Part of the problem for me is I don't like it's the thinnest position on their whole team, isn't it?
Yeah,
feels like it.
I just don't see. You know, if you're counting on drafting somebody to replace him, good luck with that. Like, that's just not a. You might find that guy, but it's really hard to do that. It's really hard. The draft is just, you know, you do your best and you watch as much tape as you can and you hope. And the Niners do have a good track record with receivers, but it's not perfect. You know, Dante Pettis and these guys that they mm-hmm. drafted high that didn't play a down. I mean, it's hard to do. And I just worry if you trade Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel is a great player, but is also going to get hurt at some point for sure. George Kittle is going to be hurt at some point, and you're just really thin there. So I don't know that they can afford to. I understand the whole thing about how do you pay everybody, but they're not deep at that position, and Brandon Ayuk's a great player.
Dave, we were talking about, like, guys, and you bring up the Pac-12 because you did it for so many years. Yeah. You do other games as well. I was convinced Andrew Luck was going to win multiple Super Bowls. Now, for a variety of reasons, it didn't come to fruition. Who's the guy that you were the most wrong about going from college to the NFL, one way or the other?
Golly, that's a good question. You were not wrong about Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck was a Hall of Fame NFL quarterback who just got in a terrible situation and got his body ruined by that situation. So you were not wrong about Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck dragged that sorry franchise to an AFC championship game when they were doing absolutely nothing to support him, like nothing. His kidney was burst, his shoulder was torn up, and he got him as far as anybody could. But Brandon, if Andrew Luck had landed, like, say, where Brock Purdy landed, oh my God. You know, I mean, you're talking about five Super Bowl wins or something like that. Andrew Luck's an all-time Andrew Luck's an all-time talent.
I totally agree.
I might have to get back to you on that one. Like, I definitely have a lot of misses, but
well, give me one.
I'm just trying to think of who, like, a good
Darnold.
You know, a couple of these USC
quarterbacks.
I don't know about Darnold. A couple of the USC receivers. I really thought were
Mike Williams.
You know, I thought Mike Williams was going to translate. I don't know. He had some personal issues that might have gotten in the way. I'll have to think about, though, like, the just purely based on talent, not off field stuff, who my biggest miss was, because I definitely had some.
I thought Matt Leinart was going to be a star. Huh. He had like one incompletion in that second half in the Rose Bowl against Texas. I was like, man, the accuracy, he's a lefty, he's got the moxie, the poise. I thought Leinart was going to pop. I really did. But that's another USC quarterback, man. They seem to do that to us at times.
Yeah, USC's had a really weird track record. And look, some programs, that's the case. And LSU, you know, LSU's produced a lot of great players, but they've, you know, the quarterback track record there is not very good. Ohio State finally has a quarterback who's working out. That kind of stuff would spook me a little bit. The other thing I'd say right now in college football, because I did the Orange Bowl, and so I saw Georgia up close, and I saw the staff, the coaches. Like, Georgia is the new Alabama. Just pick some Georgia players.
Hey, Ladd McConkley?
I want the right tackle. Mims or Maravius Mims? He's like 6'8", 340.
He's a monster. Like, Ladd McConkley's really good. Yeah. I think he's going to be a good NFL player. Like, I was watching him just warm up field level. He's strong. He's super explosive. Like, he's a good player. I really like the safety, the guy Bullard. He's a good player.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's solid.
He's going to be a good NFL player. Just super smart. Knows where to be. Kirby's taught him. He can see everything. He's a leader on that team. They got, and the cornerback would be a good pick for the Niners, I think.
Guy out of Iowa?
What's his name? Well, I like him too.
DeJean.
DeJean. Is it Kamari Lattimore for Georgia?
Yes.
He's going to be a good NFL player.
Are you in or out? Last question here. Hey. In or out on the Kirby Smart? It's the high crown visor. Would you rock the high crown visor? I do from time to time on the golf course.
I'm in. I'm in on that. I wouldn't do it, but I'm in on Kirby doing it. Kirby can do whatever he wants. I haven't had a chance to be around him very much just because, you know, he's almost always on that CBS game. Yeah. And so, you know, I haven't been around him much. That guy has it going on.
No doubt.
He is buttoned up. He really is Nick Saban. Like, he's got his hand on everything on that program. It is very professional, but in the best way, like cares about the kids. Like I'd be leaning into the Georgia players if I were an NFL team.
I mean, Philadelphia has.
Yeah, they have.
Philadelphia's facing Georgia East. Oh man, Flip, I love talking draft. We could do this for the next hour, man, but I know you're busy. So hey,
sports we'll talk Christmas. To you next week.
It is
Happy
sports Christmas. There's a lot going on. NBA playoffs. We got the Giants rolling here, winning some series, splitting the series against Arizona. A lot of good things happening in the Bay Area. Flynn, will talk next week.
The Giants are good, and we will, and I guess we'll be talking. I'll be at Fenway.
Fenway, that's right. Fenway. I was just showing my fiance yesterday to Fenway Park, because he works with a person for Boston. I was like, we got to go to Fenway.
You can go to New Balance. It's right across the street.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Shohei, I'm out on New Balance.
Flynn, take care, man. We'll talk to you from Boston.
All right. See ya.
All right, man. Dave Flynn. Hey, Flynn, I hope you hear this. We love you.
No, he is the
best. As good as we get it gets here.
Okay, so one
Baldy
of my favorite
Flynn,
moments,
I don't know which one. No, I don't know. No.
When he went, he would have won 5 Super Bowls, and he means that with all his chest.
No,
look, I believe situation matters. Today there's so many guys that are going to get drafted, but the situation you land on, we talk about Trevor Lawrence.
Yep.
You know, if you put Brock Purdy with Urban Meyer on that Jaguar team, it looks nothing like what he looks like on the Niners. We can all acknowledge that, right?
Yep, no
you know, you've heard this for years. Well, if Joe Montana was drafted by the Tampa Bay Bucks, ask Steve Young. I've read his book, Quarterback, 1,000 times, QB. And he's like, dude, Tampa, we had no chance.
No chance.
To the Niners, and I thought that I was working for a Fortune 500 company where I had no shot of not succeeding, where everyone, if I wanted to be the best version of myself, I had to compete there. The Andrew Luck situation is a great example, and he is one of the great prospects outside of Elway.
He's unbelievable.
Right?
Coming off that Orange Bowl against Virginia Tech. I mean, going to those games, the way he worked tight ends, Andrew Luck.
Pre-snap, just pointing?
I loved Andrew Luck at quarterback.
Me too. He's my prototype.
When they came to Candlestick Park the weekend, Alan Smith got into that trouble. In that fourth quarter, Andrew Luck put on a clinic. And I just remember him walking into the end zone on that quarterback bootleg, spiking the ball, just yelling at Candlestick. Yeah. And I was like, does he have something against Harbaugh? Is there something there? Like, what is up with that relationship?
In the history of the game, coming out of college as a prospect, not what you know them to be, at their Hall of Fame resume and all that, as a prospect, it's Elway and Andrew Luck, to me, that are the two prototype number one overall quarterback.
You don't put Peyton Manning there?
I prefer a little bit of speed and the arm strength. Peyton Manning's definitely
was
no doubt.
There was the bloodline too.
Right, because of Archie Manning. No, but I, if you're asking me what I prefer the Elway, Andrew Luck style.
Well,
Elway was more dynamic than Andrew Luck.
Elway was, you had every team in the league, including the 49ers, trying to trade up for John Elway. He was can't miss.
And Michael Vick, I loved, but I didn't know he would do that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I don't know what this is going to look like.
But John Elway, he was going to be a Raider. But Al Davis was busy suing the NFL, and Pete Rozelle was like, yeah, we're not going to let that happen. He's not getting John Elway. He's going to trade away Greg Townsend, Howie Long, or something like that?
It's going to be Marcus Allen and John Elway.
Wow. Jackson the next year.
And then they said that.
Because when Bo Jackson said, I'm not playing for Tampa Bay, and he said he got a call from Al Davis, said, would you like to be a Raider? And Bo Jackson's eyes lit up.
Situation matters, though, right? It really does matter.
Well,
so
I'm looking at quarterback misses right now, right?
Yeah.
Tony Banks, Michigan State. I don't think he was really that good.
No, Akili Smith.
But Tony Banks and Akili Smith.
Yeah.
Cincinnati was a mess.
Tijon Carter.
St. Louis Rams were a mess with Tony Briggs. Yeah. So I think situation, and we're learning this in baseball, maybe not so much in baseball as opposed to basketball or football. Fit, situation, the culture of the situation.
Absolutely. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.